is our God. Amen. You can be seated, brother.
Well, good morning. It's good to see you this morning. Glad to be in the house of the Lord. We're going to be in Jeremiah this morning. Of course, you see the bulletin, you see a lot of scripture. We're going to go through some of it. Jeremiah is actually the longest book of the Bible, word-wise. People think Psalms, but Jeremiah is actually the longest. And actually, that's why in the Bible, have you ever heard of major prophets, minor prophets? And, well, Jeremiah is considered a major prophet. Not because of what he did, they all served the Lord, but the length of the book. That determines how they separated major and minor prophets. But Jeremiah is considered a major prophet. He's credited with writing Jeremiah and Lamentations, but also according to the Jewish tradition and literary style, 1 and 2 Kings is believed to be written by him as well, even though no author there has been announced. But Jeremiah was called as a prophet of young age. It's under 20 years of age when he was first called by God and commissioned. He is called the weeping prophet. Weeping prophet because, one, he was weeping for Judah. Because he preached for 40 years and nobody believed he was the prophet of God. 40 years. I don't know how many preachers today would stand up and preach God's word for 40 years and not a single convert right there would happen. Of course, God told him this. God told him this ahead of time. But here, Jeremiah, we see here in just a little bit, he is called the weeping prophet because of even the book of Lamentations. We'll read that in a little while as well. But also the fact of what he went through with the children of Judah. We believe that was part of why he was called weeping and the rejection they placed on him. But also Jeremiah is actually also seen as, and I'll put quotes around it, one of the most human prophets. Now they were all human and serving God, but he's most human in that we see his personal inner life than any other prophet around. We kind of get to see inside of him, see his reaction to things. See how he exhibits courage, compassion, sensitivity. But guess what? He also had moodiness, loneliness, doubt, and even retribution toward his enemies. You see, this morning we're going to look at Jeremiah because we exhibit the same things as him. Right there. And that's why I feel led to do this. Because Jeremiah is a standard we can look at. We can go by right there. Actually, Jeremiah in the world's eyes today would be considered a failure because he preached for 40 years and nobody came. Nobody believed him. But in God's eyes, he was success. Why? Because he followed God. We're going to start looking at it in verse 5 of Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse 5, Jeremiah chapter 1. This is God talking to Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. And I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Here, God tells him, before I formed you in the womb. Now, I don't want to get too far off on it, but God creates everybody the same way. In their mother's womb, right there. And he tells him, I knew you. That word knew is actually yada. Y-A-W. -DA. Now, I hope there's no English majors in here right now because I will put it good old Edwards, Mississippi draw into this. So bear with me on it. But it's yada in Hebrew. It means to ascertain by seeing. You see, God already knew. He already sees Jeremiah's entire life, just like yours and mine. He knew Jeremiah's entire life before he was ever born. And God is still the same today. As he told him, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I've appointed you a prophet to the nations. God had already set him apart, even before he was born. Reminds me of somebody else in the Bible, John the Baptist. We could go look at him. God set him apart. But guess what else? God set you apart. He set you apart as well to become a believer in him. You see, that word set apart is actually holy. We're holy because of Christ, not us, because of him. But here he tells him, I've also called you, appointed you to be prophet to the nations. People read that and they think, well, wait a minute now. He's prophet to Judah, yes. But he is also prophet to the nations because he's in God's word, and all nations, even today, can grow from him, can read and understand. Look what he does, though. Jeremiah, just like any person that feels God's called to ministry, he's going to make an excuse to start out with. Verse 6. Then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am youth. Now, as a part of a personal testimony right here, I can say, yes, I used that too when God called me in ministry. When he called me into ministry, I was going to be an electrician the rest of my life. I was studying electrical at Hines Community College, and that's what I was going to do. And then in 1988, God said something different to me, and it became more in 1989. But I was like, Lord, I don't know how to speak. And God said, don't worry about that. Lord, I don't know this. I don't know how to do this. God said, don't worry about it. Just like he told Jeremiah right there. He said, God, I'm young. There's no excuse that God's not going to sit there and say, don't worry about it. He's not going to say, whoa, wait a minute. Yeah, you're right. I don't know about that. Oh, I got second thoughts. No, God's going to do what he's going to tell him next. Actually, here in verses 7 through 10. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am you, because wherever I send you, you shall go. And all that I've commanded you, you shall speak. See, he's already addressed it. He said, I don't care if you're young. Actually, back then at that time, 20 years of older, that's who would be counted. Anybody younger than 20 was considered insignificant, especially even in men right there. When they would take a census, when they would count people, you were 20 years older when they usually count. So even Jeremiah being called under 20, that's significant because they were considered not to be significant in that. And God tells them, don't worry about it. You know, because I command you, you shall speak. Verse 8, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. God's already talking to him and telling him, don't be afraid of them. Because he's going to even have threats to his life. The children of Judah are going to threaten him. Right then, God said, don't worry about that. Don't worry about it. Why? Because I am with you. And as I said in my little testimony right there, I can say the same thing. That's what God told me. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about things. Why? Because I am with you. And that's all that's needed. And that's what he said. Do not be afraid of them, for I'm with you, declares the Lord. Verse 9, then he stretched out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations, over the kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, and to build and to plant. God tells Jeremiah, you don't worry about anything. I have it all under control. Now, I wish I could say, and everything was just hunky-dory after that. Boy, everything was just a bed of roses. It actually gets worse. It gets much worse right there. Because, as I told you before, 40 years, nobody in Judah believed him. Nobody. Why is that? Go to verse 16. and we'll see this. I will pronounce my judgments on them concerning all their wickedness, whereby they have forsaken me and have offered sacrifices to other gods and worship the works of their own hands. Jeremiah was told to call the children of Judah out because of their sin. Now let's be honest. How many of us like to be told we're wrong? Even when we're doing something wrong, and we know it's wrong, we still don't like to be called wrong. That's called human nature. And God told Jeremiah, you're going to tell them this. You're going to tell them. And guess what they're going to do? They're going to bristle up at you. They're going, no, I'm not wrong. They're going to get mad. They're going to threaten. But again, what does God tell him in verse 19? Look at here. He says, they will fight against you. And they literally will. But they will not overcome you. Why? For I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. God then reaffirms him and tells him, I am with you. Now, I would love to say that Jeremiah jumped on board with that and was like, yes, God's with me. Bring it on. But like I told you, actually he's considered to be more human that we can read inside and see his thoughts, see what he says. And that's what we're fixing to look at. I want you to turn over to chapter 20. Chapter 20. This is a low point in Jeremiah's life. And we're going to see what he says right here. What he says to God. Jeremiah chapter 20, right there, verse 7. Oh Lord, that tells you who he's talking to right now. You have deceived me. I was deceived. You have overcome me and prevailed. I have become a laughing stock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For each time I speak, I cry aloud. I proclaim violence and destruction. Because before me, the word of the Lord has resulted in reproach and derision all day long. Wait a minute, now this is the prophet of God. And look what he's doing. Lord, you deceived me. Jeremiah's struggling right now. He's struggling with things. And he's crying out to God. Why? Because he's a laughing stock. Because he was telling all this stuff. Hey, guess what? The Babylonians are going to come in and they're going to destroy everything. They're going to destroy the temple even. And they would ridicule him. Of course, as you can read through Jeremiah, you'll see everything he said came true. But they were still ridiculing him. And he was struggling right there. Because as he says, each time I speak out, I cry aloud, I proclaim violence and destruction. And as a result of this, reproach and derision all day long. I've just become a laughing stock, God. But then as he goes into verse 9, it says, but if I say I will not remember him or speak anymore in his name. He's saying it right there. He's, I'm done. I'm going to stop. I'm tired of talking about you, God. They're not listening. Why should I bother with them? But look what he says as well with that. He says, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I'm weary holding it in, and I cannot endure. In other words, Jeremiah is struggling with what's going on around him, but then he says, I cannot stop being who God's called me to be. Guess what? Same for you and me. Same for you and me. Jeremiah is struggling right here. He's like, God, they're not listening. But he's like, I, even though I want to stop, he says, I can't. Because you're burning inside me. God had changed Jeremiah just like he changed you and me. When we became believers in Jesus Christ, we were changed. Now, we're still going through that process. Jeremiah was still going through that process. Right there, that sanctification process that we go through as we mature as believers. And here Jeremiah is struggling. I mean, I could go on and on about that part right there with it. I mean, have you ever blamed God for things? I could tell you this. In ministry, there are struggles. Struggles that people don't see. Everybody has struggles, but even in ministry especially as well, I'll say that. You see, Jeremiah continued to proclaim God's judgment on the children of Judah, and guess what? They continually refused, even when everything came true. The Babylonians came in. They destroyed Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple. They carried them off in captive. And it even gets worse for Jeremiah. At one point, actually, in his life, his enemies treated him better than his people of Judah. Nebuchadnezzar, right there, even invited him to come live in Babylon, because even Nebuchadnezzar believed he was a prophet of God. But Jeremiah refused to go. He refused to go because, why? God told him to stay. Stay where he's at. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been like front row seat on the bus, ready to go. I mean, here, this king was like, hey, come live with us. We'll treat you better than they are. And Jeremiah tells him no. Because guess what? It even gets worse for him. They even came to him, the children of Judah come to him, and they were like, hey, Jeremiah, tell us, what should we do here? Should we leave and go to Egypt? Or should we stay? Now, Jeremiah did go to God and ask God, what should he do? What should they do? And God tells him, you need to stay. You need to stay where you're at and don't go to Egypt. So he goes back to the people of Judah and said, this is what God says. Guess what they did? Oh, we're packing up. We're going to Egypt. They refused to believe in him. And they made it even worse. They took him and his scribe with them. They said, guess what? You're going with us too. So they forced him to go with them. Right there in that. God said he would be with him. But I can tell you what, Jeremiah struggled. Because even when he consulted God and God said, stay, the children of Judah just load him up too, took his scribe, and they head off to Egypt right there. We're going to go into Lamentations here. And this is why we have the book of Lamentations, really. It is Jeremiah lamenting over the children of Judah, lamenting over them for their refusal to believe, but also in his life, I believe, as well, for what he's been through. And we're going to see even a lower point of what we've seen already. A lower point in Jeremiah's life. Jeremiah chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. Verse 16. These are some of the most violent figurative talk that Jeremiah uses, describing what he's going through. Verse 16. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has made me cower in the dust. Who's he talking about? He's talking about God here, folks. He's like, God, you have broken my teeth with gravel. You have made me cower in the dust. My soul has been rejected from peace. I have forgotten happiness. Here's the prophet of God. So I say, my strength has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. Wow, that's some pretty harsh words. Jeremiah's going through some tough stuff. He's struggling. Not that he's doubting God, but he's struggling with things. He's like, I can't see any hope right now. Lord, I don't see the end of the tunnel yet. I don't even see a light. That's why I want to talk about this morning. Because you and I are like Jeremiah. We go through things in life, do we not? You might be going through something right now. I don't know. You might be at that point where you say, Lord, I don't have hope right now. You might be right where he's at. My strength has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. He goes even farther in verse 19 and 20. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. What Jeremiah is saying right there is, all I can remember are the bad stuff. That's all I'm thinking about, night and day. I'm thinking about the bad stuff that's going on. I'm thinking about everything that's happening around me. He's found himself constantly thinking about everything that's going bad. And he's become depressed and despondent. Right there. Again, I say, if we were all to be honest with ourselves and everyone here, we've gone through the same things. You see, we've exhibited qualities of courage, compassion, and sensitivity. But we've also had moments of moodiness, loneliness, doubt, and even retribution toward our enemies. And I bet we've even pointed towards God. Not that we doubt him, but that we are struggling. Because all we see is that problem in front of us. Whatever that problem may be. That problem could be cancer. That problem could be a family member right there. That problem, anything in our life right there. That we're like, Lord, I can't handle this. Lord, this is all that's consuming me right now. That's where Jeremiah's at. And he's like, this is all I remember. But we're going to see a turn in his thought process here. We're going to see a moment right here in his moment of deep despair. And he's recalling all the bitterness and affliction he's gone through. A remarkable transition is taking place here. Look at verse 21. This I recall to mind. Even though the problems are still there, they're still there. Remember now, 40 years. No convert, nobody. Problems still there, but he's like, I'm recalling this. What is he recalling? Or should I say who he's recalling? Therefore I have hope. He's recalling the Lord, folks. He is recalling the Lord. And that's what we're seeing in these next verses. Look at verse 22. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassion never fail. The Lord's loving kindness never will cease. God tells us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. You see, we have to remember this, especially in those bad times. In those bad times, we need to remember God's love for us. Right there. You see, the basis for renewed hope is God's great love. Even though Jeremiah just said that up there, that my hope is gone, look what he says. Therefore, I have hope. What does he have hope in? The Lord's love and kindness indeed never ceases. And it doesn't. It doesn't. He actually uses the word right there, hesed. Right in it, and it's translated loyal love. Now, you love your spouse, you love your family, but your love for your family or your family's love for you does not compare even a drop in a bucket to God's love for you. His love goes even beyond. Goes even beyond that, what human mind can comprehend. And that's what Jeremiah is remembering right there. In that, as he says, the Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassion will never fail. Another basis of hope is unfailing compassion of God. His compassions never fail, even when we're in sin. God's compassion is there. How can you know that? Because he gives us grace and mercy and tells us, turn from it and repent, and I'm there. Matter of fact, he never really leaves us. He's there. We just turn away from him. And Jeremiah is remembering it right now in this. The actual word that's being used here is rahamim. It's related to the womb. It's actually showing right here a description of the tender, caring love of a mother. Mothers, you understand, you will know. That love you have for that child. Even when they push your buttons to the limit, somewhere deep inside, there's still that love right there, that they're your child. Guess what? God's like that right now. Even though we push his buttons all the time, and we push him, we push limits, even though God doesn't have limits, but we think we do, God is still there, and his compassions are there with us. And that's what Jeremiah is remembering right there. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. This verse right here reminds me that every day is a new day. It's a new day that God has created. And when you open your eyes and you take that breath, we need to thank God for that day, because he's just given it to us. He's just given it to us, that he has created with his very hands for you and I to love him, to live for him, to serve him. And he's telling us right there with it. They're new every morning, his compassions. He's not going to say, well, Roddy, you remember what you did last night? Or you remember what you did last week? If you ask for forgiveness, he's moved on. Which I'm grateful for that, because I'm going to have new sins for him to bother with right there after that. How about you? There will be other things. Well, Lord, be ready. Here it comes. That's what's going to happen. Jeremiah is remembering right there. His compassions will never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I'm reminded of the hymn. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning. New mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. You know, there are times in my life I might not remember scripture. It might not just pop up. But there's always a hymn that can pop up in my mind if something happens. I can fall back to that. He goes even farther. He says, verse 24, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in him. The Lord is my portion. Means he's not going to get any more or any less. That's what portion means. This is all you're getting. You're not getting any more or any less. But with God, you're getting all you need. That's actually what he's saying there. Jehovah, Lord, is all I have. And guess what? You and I are the same way. Because friends will let you down. Family members will let you down. I would say husbands will let you down, but I'll get an amen on this chair over here. But we will. And guess what? Wives the same way. But God will never let you down. He'll never let you. He's all you have. In that. And look, he's changed his tune. Let's go back up to verse 18 for a second. So I say my strength has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. Now look back there at that verse we just read. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in him. How has he turned right there? His attitude has changed. Why? Because he's focusing on the Lord. He is focusing on God. Verse 25, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. I'm reminded of the scripture, Mark 10:18, where Jesus says, somebody called him good. He says to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You see, even Jesus himself points to the sole source of perfect righteousness, God himself. God is good. Good beyond the definition of good, folks. Remember that. And Jeremiah is remembering this. But Then he says the second part of the verse. Look what it says. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him. Boy, I don't like that part right there. I'm glad you shared about that a while ago. Right there. How many of us like waiting? If we're honest, come on now. We don't like to. We want to rush on into things, especially now with technology right there. Boy, we get it instantaneous when something happens right there. We get flushed by it. We want God to do it now. But God is saying, wait. Why? Because He knows what's best for us. Not what's good, not what's better, but what's best all around with that. And He wants us to actually focus on Him. That's what Jeremiah was doing back up there. Verse 21, this I recall to my mind. God wants us to focus on Him. Now, that doesn't mean ignore the situation. A lot of people take it, well, I'm just going to turn my back on it. I'm going to ignore it. No, when you turn back around, guess what? It's going to be right there still waiting on you. God is saying, don't worry. That's sermon for another day. Don't worry. Focus on me. Focus on Him. Remember Him. That's what He wants us to do. Not ignore the situation, but what we're saying is we are trusting God to handle it. But we still want to try things, and that's why we have verse 26. It is good that He waits silently. Puts it even farther. Literally means wait in silence. Abstain from complaining. What we do is like, here, God, I'm giving you that problem. And while we're all there giving it to Him, we're steadily telling Him what to do with it. God, you need to just do it this way. God's saying, no, just give it to me. Trust me. Remember my loving kindness. Remember my compassion. Remember my goodness. That's what He's saying to us right there. That God will fix it. But sometimes He don't fix it the way we want it to be fixed. You know, He could have fixed that for Jeremiah. Oh, just let one person believe. But that didn't happen. Let them believe in me, Lord, that I am who I say I am. That didn't happen. What God was telling him is, I'm with you. Trust me and go through it. Trust me and go through it. You see, we need to be reminded about this. Because guess what? We go through things ourselves. Life can be hard sometimes, can it not? It can be real hard. And then you bring other people into the picture. It just gets hard on stuff. But guess what? God is there. And that's why we want to be reminded this morning about this. Because one, we have to be reminded. But also we need to share it with others. You might know somebody that's going through something. We got to be reminded about that God is always with us. His goodness is always upon us. Like I said before, sometimes Scripture doesn't come to my mind. You know, the old saying, if you repeat something 36 times, you remember it. Well, when I was at school, which I went to Rebel Academy right there many moons ago, I had an English teacher there that told me, said, you need to remember it 136 times. You need to try that. Because 36 times wasn't working for me. You know, you quote it 36 times, you'll remember it. No, that don't help. There are some Scripture that comes to mind. John 3:16, stuff like that. Yes. But then there are times I said that a hymn comes to mind first. I'm actually reminded of a children's song I used to sing growing up. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good, He's so good to in those times, people, that's what we got to remember. I don't know what's going on in your life today. I don't know what's happening around you, but I can tell you this, God does. God knows. And He's telling you He's good. You might be at that point just like Jeremiah. I have no hope. God's right there. He's right there. We're going to have a time of invitation this morning. The altar will be open. If you want to come kneel and pray, you do that. If you want to come share with me, I'll pray with you. It's not about me. It's not about the music. It's not about anything else. It's about you and God. You and God. This is your time to talk to Him. We're going to have this time of invitation. And when we do, you talk with Him this morning. You can do it right where you're at, but if you want to feel led to come down, just understand and remember, God is good to you. Very good. Let's stand and I'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come to You right now and we thank You for this time. We thank You for this opportunity You've given us to gather here. Now, Lord, at this time of invitation, if there's someone here that is struggling, I pray, God, they will come to You this morning. If there's someone here who doesn't believe in You, God, I pray they would come down this morning. Lord, whatever it is, I pray we will respond to You this morning. Pray this in Your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our hymn of invitation is going to be Give Me Jesus. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You may have all this world, just give me Jesus. Oh, when I am alone, oh, when I am alone, oh, when I am alone, give me Jesus.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, again we come to You. We thank You for this day. For You created this day for us to live for You, to love You, to serve You. I thank You for this church and body of believers that gather here. Lord, I pray, God, that we will remember, even on Monday, even tomorrow, God, Your goodness, Your compassions, Your loving kindness. Because Monday's coming, God, we know that. Things are going to happen. Busy week. But You're still there in control. Thank You. Pray this in Your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Just remember this evening, our small groups that start at 5 o'clock. Y'all have a good week this week. We thank y'all for being here.
All right, let's sing as we leave. How great is our God.